the Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX, your home for the Cardinals. Yesterday, the Major League Baseball, not Major League Baseball, but the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot came out, being released by the Baseball Hall of Fame, as a lot of new names are on there, some holdovers as well. There's nobody in the world better to talk about that with than a guy who wrote the Cooperstown Casebook, and he is the creator of JAWS, which is a way that you can evaluate players. He is our friend Jay Jaffe, senior writer at Fangraphs. Follow him on Twitter at J_JAFFE. Jay, always appreciate you taking some time with us today. How are you?
Hey, thanks. Good to be back.
So you look at the names that are on this list. Am I correct in saying that Ichiro, Suzuki, CC Sabathia are pretty much for sure first ballot Hall of Famers, and in all likelihood we'll see a guy who got very close last year and Billy Wagner. Those three, is it a safe bet that those three are probably going to get in this time?
I think probably short of a safe bet on CC. I think CC Sabathia is going to be a Hall of Famer someday, and someday in the next few years. I don't think it's going to be an automatic first ballot entry. I think he could get in, but I think it's more likely he builds toward a year two or year three entry. I think he's going to take a little bit of convincing from some people, but I'll be pleasantly surprised if I'm wrong and he does get in. I'm certainly in favor of it.
Is the pushback on CC just there's many voters out there that are more restrictive on their first-year ballots?
I think that's part of it. I think also maybe there's some, unfortunately, we've seen as the way the role of the starting pitcher has changed over the last 50 years, really, we've seen declines in workload. We've seen, higher ERAs, especially from the era that Sabathia played. I mean, his career ERA is 3.74, which would be one of the highest in the Hall of Fame. But it takes some interpretation. You have to, you could put that in perspective by understanding, the high-scoring ballparks he was in, like Yankee Stadium and things like that. It just takes a little bit more finesse to make his case because, he didn't win 300 games. He's only 251 games. He did strike out 3,000 batters, only the third lefty to do that. Has won Cy Young, has won World Series ring, good postseason resume. But, his last few years were a bit of a grind. And sometimes I think it's a little hard to overcome that that recent memory as well. But, I'm optimistic in the long run. I just don't think it's going to be as easy as Ichiro, who I expect to be, getting almost unanimous, if not completely unanimous support.
In terms of Billy Wagner, he got so close last year. What happens when somebody gets that close? What kind of conversations happen in the 11 months between the announcement and when the next voting takes place, where there's going to be obviously a lot of voters who do put Wagner probably on their ballot this time?
Yeah, I think that, I think there are, there's certainly a segment of voters likes to be the one that finally kind of close ranks around a guy and say, yeah, I helped get him in, I'm the gatekeeper here. Once I approve, he's a Hall of Famer. But there's also, new voters coming into this who are maybe a little bit more attuned to, being for a given candidate than the voters they're replacing who've aged out of the electorate. There's people who maybe didn't have him on their ballots for space reasons the last couple of years. Just, I think there are any one of a number of reasons. It's a body of almost 400 voters, and they all have their individual reasons for how do they come to their decisions. Wagner wasn't a slam dunk. At one point, he was only getting about 10% or so of the support. So this has really been a long, slow build, but there is some urgency to his candidacy now because he's in his final year and he fell just 5 votes short last year. There was one very conspicuous drop from the ballot by a guy who wrote a whole column about it, then a whole column about how he was being bullied on social media for making the choice. There's all kinds of weird stuff happens here, but I do think he'll get in. And I think there are people looking at his credentials. And, as we watch the next generation of potential Hall of Fame closers, guys like Craig Kimbrell and Kenley Jansen, and Aroldis Chapman scuffle in their mid-30s and maybe look like they're not going to make it, I think we can appreciate a little bit more just how close Billy Wagner is and how worthy he is of election.
Other holdovers include Alex Rodriguez, Manny Ramirez, Andrew Jones, Carlos Beltran, Chase Utley, Omar Vizquel, Jimmy Rollins, Bobby Abreu, Andy Pettit, Mark Burley, Francisco Rodriguez, Torrey Hunter, David Wright. Look, some of those guys obviously have some other things going on. You know, some of those guys are connected to PD. Some of those guys are connected to other things like Carlos Beltran. Is there anybody on that list that to you clearly is going to get kind of on that track? You mentioned a Wagner starting with 10% of the votes here in St. Louis. We know about the path that Scott Rowland took. Any of those holdovers do you feel like still has that path to get in?
Yeah, I think Utley is a guy I look at as having kind of the Scott Rowland path. I mean, modest early support. Utley, as I pointed out in my FanGraphs chat today, Utley actually debuted with 28.8% of the vote. That's much higher than Rowland or Larry Walker, a little bit higher than Tim Raines, a little bit higher than Mike Messina. And I'm sure I'm forgetting one or two of these guys, but we've seen a whole bunch of candidates in recent years rally back from getting these low shares to gain entry, usually late in their candidacy, sometimes even in their final year, like Raines and Walker and Edgar Martinez, who I think debuted a little bit higher than 28. But that's who I hold out hope from that bracket. And closer to the mark, Carlos Beltran has the third highest share of any returning candidate. And, you know, really, I think is on progress towards eventual election. I think we saw some of the resistance to him was maybe first year resistance as a kind of a slap on the wrist for his participation in the Astro Science dealing scandal. But he still has about 18 points to make up. So it's probably a 2 or 3 year away type thing. You know, and Andrew Jones is even closer than that, although he's now in his eighth year and with 61.6% of the vote last year. And he's got, you know, some issues. I mean, kind of a lopsided career, did everything in his teens and 20s, not much of a career in his 30s in terms of value. And unfortunately, the way his career ended, after his career ended in the majors in his mid-30s, he had a domestic violence charge against him, and that I think has maybe taken some of the fun out of this. But that hasn't entirely impeded his progress. And I think those are the ones that I look at from this. I don't think the PED guys are getting anywhere. They actually both lost about a point of support last year. We're talking A-Rod and Manny. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Andy Pettit lost support too, but he's much lower down. So, I think there's a lot of interest in the new guys, though.
Yeah, kind of the same question on that. And for people who weren't paying attention over the last couple of days, Felix Hernandez, Carlos Gonzalez, Dustin Pedroia, Hanley Ramirez, Fernando Rodney, Ian Kinsler, Ben Zobrist, Troy Tulowitzki, Russell Martin, Brian McCann, Curtis Granderson, Adam Jones. Who do you feel like? Same question. Who maybe doesn't get in this year, maybe has that low number this year, but does see a path to Cooperstown?
Yeah, I don't know if any of those guys are going to see a path to Cooperstown, but I really want to talk about Russell Martin and Brian McCann because we've placed such a high value on pitch framing. We've learned about how valuable it is over the past decade and a half. And once you incorporate that into the statistics of McCann and Martin, you see that because they were better hitters than, say, Yadier Molina, not to press a point too hard here, their career values were on par with Molina. And I know we talk a lot about Molina as a potential Hall of Famer. And I think it really comes from, you know, the quantification, at least in part, has to do with his pitch framing. And so if you're going to tell me Yadier Molina is a Hall of Famer, I'm going to tell you that, yeah, you know, I think he is too, but I also think that Russell Martin and Brian McCann are probably worthy of that honor as well. And down the road, Buster Posey as well. And, I want to make sure that we understand this, the terms of the debate here when it comes to quantifying at least some of these catchers' contributions.
Yeah, no, I think it's because you're right. You're 100% right. And just about everybody listening to you in St. Louis is going to tell you that Yadier Molina absolutely is a Hall of Famer. And I agree with that. But as I was having conversations about this the other day, I was talking about it more in terms of Brian McCann than Russell Martin, to be perfectly honest with you. But I can see a case for McCann. I think you make an interesting point on Martin as well on why these guys might have a path to Cooperstown.
Yeah, I mean, McCann won a World Series. He was on that Astros team that won in 2017. And, you know, I think you're entitled to feel icky about that if you want to. I know I certainly do. But, he was a part of several playoff teams, always sought by good teams. Excellent hitter when he was healthy. Russell Martin was a transformative player at two of his stops. I mean, both the Pirates and Blue Jays had like epic playoff droughts before he got there. And he really did a lot to help those pitching staffs and, was a good hitter as well. Martin was one of my favorite players to watch. I grew up a Dodgers fan, so I kind of default to watching the Dodgers when I have, no other pressing viewing appointments for baseball. And Martin, I just could never take my eyes off the guy. He was so mobile behind the plate, great at pitch blocking, excellent, as we later learned, at pitch framing. Saw him here in New York with the Yankees, saw what he did in Pittsburgh and Toronto, and that's all well documented. And he really was a transformative player. And I think that I'm looking forward to making the case. I don't even know if he's going to be on the next ballot. I hope I drum up enough support to keep him around. And there's other guys here. I mean, you know, I don't think Dustin Pedroia or Ian Kinsler or Felix Hernandez has a very strong shot of getting in while they're on the writer's ballot. But these guys had some great careers and certainly some fantastic moments. Pedroia was probably on a Hall of Fame path before his knee injury. Unfortunately, just didn't have the longevity that puts him in the camp of literally hundreds of other players. We can lament that they fell short, and I don't mean to keep making short jokes about Pedroia. I'm not exactly known for my ability to dunk a basketball myself here. So, Felix Hernandez, I think if he'd maybe won another Cy Young Award and stayed in better shape and got some longevity, he would definitely be in the conversation. I mean, you know, pitcher wins are not a great proxy for the Hall conversation anymore. He finished with 169 wins. If he'd gotten to 200, I think he'd be getting in almost regardless. He was so good at his peak. His peak just didn't last long enough. He just didn't hold together long enough. And I think part of that was overuse, and part of that was maybe lackluster conditioning. And I wish it had been different, but that's where we are.
Jay Jaffe, senior writer, FanGraphs, author of the Cooperstown Casebook. Jay, appreciate you taking time with us. I'm sure we'll talk to you again come around induction time and get your thoughts on what ends up happening.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Very good. That is Jay Jaffe. This is Sports Open Line on KMOX.